In the name of God, Abba Ima, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Mother Teresa was part of a panel some years ago in Berkeley, audience about 500 people, exploring the question, what is the meaning of life? They've never solved that in Berkeley. It was a panel of five presenters, and she was the last one to speak, and some very cogent material had been presented. And she steps up to the mic. You know, she was a very small woman with this Hungarian accent. She walks up, she says, "We must love each other." And a sonic boom went off in the room, just everybody felt it. That's all she said. This is the power of great saints. It's their presence that just knocks us back. And this was clearly St. Francis and Claire. Why is it 8 centuries later we're still talking about them? The guy who invented Christmas, who was a devoted peacemaker, patron saint of San Francisco, and ecology. The list goes on and on. Founder of the most successful religious order in his own lifetime. 5,000 followers, men and women, while he was still alive. Most saints are dead, you know, several generations before somebody. That was pretty good. In his lifetime. This openness of heart is something we can never get enough of. But the contrast with where we are today has become quite overwhelming. Life, up until our lifetimes, was based on biology. Right? How well these body beings did, do, don't. The earth, maintaining some sense of stability for us, and values. Values. That's what makes a human being. But today's techno world, that of AI, says that reality is based on information. And the great promise of the techno world is control. Finally, we will have control. There's a saying, Silicon Valley, meat is messy. Have you heard that? Meat is messy. That means organic life, our own bodies. And meat is messy. Organic life, you know, it's bloody, it's stinky, and it breaks down. But digitized life will not have those problems. We'll be free and clear of all that stuff. Isn't that great? No constraints anymore. I'm bionic, you know, my back. There's some advantages to this stuff. Frank's bionic. Half the congregation's probably bionic, right? But not all bad, but it's changing the values. Martin Buber wrote this incredible book. Some of you have read it, glanced across. I and Thou, do you remember this book? Just even the title. It says that human beings experience life in two ways. I, Thou, which is I and the mystery. Every moment of our lives, we're making a choice between I and the mystery. And the glory and the possibilities of being human, and what happens when we connect and we stand in the awe and the wonder of life in its fullness. And then there's also I, it. We're also always in relationship. I, it says that everything else around me is just it. The chairs, the people, the dogs, the cat, it's just it. We're doing business. We're taking care of things. We're getting it done. You know, you do have to go shopping for groceries. But now, in our new techno reality, we've transcended I and thou and I it, and we have the world of iPhone. It's all here. It's all here. And you know that's true, don't you? Research, this is what blows my mind. Research, multiple times has been done on younger children, and many can no longer distinguish between what is real and what is simulated. Ken told me this story right here in our own breezeway where we have an aquarium, right? The children of Harper School love to roam the grounds and the gardens and create plays here. And, oh, they just love it. And they love Ken. And Ken witnessed this. He's in the gathering hole. A father brings his four-year-old son into the breezeway, and they're looking at the aquarium. And now he's bent over, and they're looking up. Do you see that? Do you see that? Those are fish. Those are fish, and they're real. That's not on your phone. I don't think I can get up. What on earth? They can't distinguish what's happening to us. The primary commodity of the culture of consumerism in which we live used to be products, right? You could sell American products anywhere around the world. Then, what is it, 20, 30 years ago? The product didn't even need to be sold. It was American image and style. Anything that would look, feel American would sell stuff around the world. Today, what is being sold in the culture of consumerism is human beings. It's us. But for us to complete the task of selling human beings, we need your information. That's not too much to give up, is it? In a world which has treasured the privacy of our own information? Well, it's all pretty easily had now, you know. Because we need your information in order to manipulate your purchases and your politics. Anybody got any objections? This is what the whole Doge thing is about. They completed the task. You just read hundreds of workers are going back to work for the government. Have you seen that? Yeah. Because the Doge work is over, and this is coming from people in the know, that they've just abstracted it all. So you don't need to worry about anything anymore. They've got all your information. Do you feel safer now? That's how we're going to control things. AI violates the web of life. That's what I'm talking about this today, because St. Francis, patron saint of ecology, knew, as so many others have as well, that the heart and core of what the web of life is about is interrelatedness. It's the connectivity we're finding. It is appreciating, respecting, honoring blue whales and fungi, and it's all in it together. The techno world doesn't need it. It doesn't. And that's a huge contrast, if not combat, coming up before us. It promises us relief and release from earthly limitations. Sounds good, doesn't it? Don't you have problems? Don't you worry about all kinds of things? What if they could all be solved? We just need the information and we'll take care of it. Very tempting. Sounds like we're back in the Garden of Eden, don't you think? AI cuts us off from life. Again, it can be useful, but it's cutting us off from the whole, from the relationship. And finally, there's no need for God. There's no need for others. There's no need for the earth, right? We don't like to be people in need of other things, do we? And it tops it off by saying, the ego is to be exalted. It's all about you. I know you've known that for a lifetime, but now there's proof. You are the center of the universe, you alone. So we sit there in front of our computers in real time, connected virtually to millions of people, feeling totally isolated on the inside and abandoning the earth and creation. Because I saw something on my screen. This is happening. I don't think I need to persuade you. So everything is controlled, predictable, and dead. Do you hear of wild parties among nerds? You know, we're celebrating life. Because of what we learn on the screens? It couldn't be more perfect. There's no need for community, no need for people, no need for commitment, no need for relationships, no need for mutuality, no need for responsibility. And most of all, no change is required. I don't have to change a thing. Because it's reinforcing everything I'm about. Harmony, on the other hand, friends, requires unpredictability, diversity. Nature is unpredictable. God is unpredictable. People are unpredictable. Francis and Claire were unpredictable. And most of all, love is unpredictable. It's creative, it's spontaneous, it's provocative, and it leads to wisdom, not information. Two different realms. And love leads to wonder and awe. So, Francis certainly worried from time to time. But he took to heart the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. I'm not saying we can go back to that. I know we can't. But I know we better be responsible in our choices for how we're choosing to live and integrating some incredible capacities, but do they shape our world and its values? But right there, it's the heart of it. Will you live an open-ended life, accepting unpredictability and love? Because only love leads to deeper consciousness and awareness and connection. Techno world does it. Has no interest in that. It's selling you. And selling you to others. Francis certainly did worry near the end of his life about his own order, the Franciscans. As I said, immensely popular. 5,000 people joining in his lifetime. But you know what troubled him? They didn't get it. Whoa! That's called the church. None of us fully get it. And after he died, there was a huge division immediately We're those who are going to take Francis seriously. We're going to fast all the time. We're going to live in poverty, okay? And the other group said, he didn't mean that. He meant we should sort of get along, you know, and it's okay to have some property here and there. And Francis saw that coming, and he was devastated. He went into major depression. His life's work, will it matter? What was the point? And then one day, he was graced with a breakthrough when he realized this is Jesus' order, not mine. The church is the work of Christ, not so-and-so. And he was set free, because he could trust in that unpredictable love which knows no end. Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.